Welcome. Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Kim Kilpatrick. I'm the current Vice President of Braille Literacy Canada and in charge of Braille promotions, which means the workshops that we do. So welcome to everybody. Thank you for coming on a Saturday afternoon. We are recording this, and so we would love it if you stay muted for the most part. And if you're on the computer, to mute and unmute is Alt A. If you're on the PC, if you're on the Mac, it's Option A. And on the phone, it's on the sort of bottom left-hand corner of the phone. Some iPads, it can be at the top, but you look for your mute button. Chantel will tell us when there might be time for questions and interaction, but we'll make sure that we do have time for questions. If you want to raise your hand, we can tell you that at that time. I think most people are pretty familiar with Zoom and the way it works, though. So we'd like to welcome Chantel Griffiths. She's here early in the morning in New Zealand time. She's a lifelong Braille learner, and she's head of an organization which she calls TTLC, Tactile Technology. I'm sorry, I forgot.
Literacy
Tactile
Center.
Literacy Center in New Zealand. So we just really welcome her to do this workshop for us here in Canada. And I will turn things over to Chantel.
Wow. Thank you so much. Thank you. It's I really appreciate being invited today. It's such an honor to be here, and such a surprise to be asked. I'm so pleased. I have not done much with Braille Literacy Canada before, so it's such an honor and a privilege for me to be here. Thank you again. Before I get started, I thought I would give a bit of an outline of what we're going to do today, and then we'll go through the workshop together and see what we can find out. So I'll start with a little bit of an introduction about myself and my background and how I came to do the work that I'm doing. We'll then go through some components of tactile awareness and tactile literacy. Then I thought we could explore some aspects of tactile awareness, and I like to call them little experiments or exercises that we can do, and some techniques that we can try. Then, if we've got time, we'll talk about reading aloud a little bit, and then we'll go to questions. I may, as we're going through, depending on what's happening, we may break for questions more than once, but I'll see how we go as to whether we do that or not. So, Kim reminded us all to have a couple of things handy. One would be some hard copy Braille if you've got it. If you don't have it, any sort of electronic Braille will do as well, preferably hard copy. If you don't have hard copy, you may be able to feel some other textures or things around you. That's okay. And also an object that feels absolutely nothing like Braille. I will explain this a little bit later on, but it would be great to also have access to an object that feels nothing like Braille. The stranger, the better, I think. If you have somebody that can pick an object for you, that would also be fantastic. But if not, just anything that kind of takes your fancy to have nearby you today during this workshop. Okay, so this is the bit I'm not particularly good at, and that's introducing myself. So let's see how we go. So, as you all know, I'm Chantelle. I live in Auckland in New Zealand, and I've been blind since birth. I've been a lifelong Braille reader ever since I was maybe 4 or 5, when I began to learn the skills of reading and writing by touch. And it's really funny because as I was thinking about this, it came to me that I didn't actually realize that such an ordinary skill, that the skill of reading Braille, that is, could create such an extraordinary career and extraordinary opportunities in my life. You know, to me, Braille was always one of those skills that I kind of had to do. You had to do it at school. You had to learn how to use your sense of touch in a number of different ways. And I never thought that anybody really could make a career out of Braille, especially when I was small. You know, it was one of those things people would say, "Oh, what would you like to do when you grow up?" And I would say just whatever everybody else said because I had no idea. I didn't know what I wanted to do. I didn't know what I could do, let alone what I wanted to do. And so when I found out later on, I was thinking in my late teens that Braille could be a career, I was really surprised about that. So I went to a mainstream school. So I went to school with all my schooling. I went to three different schools and a preschool or a kindergarten, and they were all mainstream. So I went studied with sighted peers, and I learned Braille and other blindness skills largely by being taught by sighted teachers or sighted people around me. I didn't really have that much exposure to Braille from adult blind mentors. And I think that's a really important part of the workshop and my story coming up. So school was the usual. I had access to a Perkins Brailler and later on electronic Braille devices such as, oh, I think my first Braille device was actually a Braille Lite 20, all the way back in the sort of early 2000s. I think I might have got it in 99, somewhere around there. But my early career after I finished school was that I was a proofreader. My first paid, it was a casual position, so only when they needed me, was as a proofreader, and I specialized in Braille music and tactile graphics. After that, I worked for quite a long time, well, about 18 months, nearly 2 years, at Humanware, of all places, which is really exciting for me. When their headquarters was in Christchurch here in New Zealand, I moved to Christchurch at quite a young age. I think I was 20. Yeah, 20 years old when I moved down there. And that gave me a really different insight into Braille and Braille learning and teaching. I'd been using a Braille note for quite some time then. And being able to be there and see how it was all made and see how it was put together and see the types of things that people were interested in knowing or had trouble with gave me a really interesting insight into a different side of Braille. So how people used electronic Braille in what I thought of then as the real world. So it, you know, I was out of school by then. I was an adult. I'd done some study, but I was still really new to the workplace and the workforce, so that gave me a really good opportunity to explore some of that. I then travelled all around Australia. I lived in Australia for about 8 years, and I travelled all around there and working for another company that sold Braille devices. And so I got to learn about Braille devices and coming at Braille from a different perspective altogether. So I got to visit lots of regional areas where, for example, access to resources wasn't as available as it was in the larger cities. And in a way, it felt a little bit reminiscent of New Zealand sometimes because we're so isolated here in New Zealand and Australia, there's sometimes not as many opportunities to experience Braille or Braille technology or some of the things that people who maybe in closer to other countries get to experience. I mean, here in New Zealand and Australia, our closest neighbour is about 3 hours away, so it takes us 3, 3.5 hours to get fly from New Zealand to Australia over the water. So getting opportunities here, especially back then, was few and far between having access to those opportunities. Then I came back to New Zealand and I began to study assistive technology. So that gave me another really interesting insight. So actually, I was working as an assistive technology instructor. I began to really step into this realm in earnest. So I worked for our local blindness organization, and we We're doing things now like teaching people how to use screen readers like JAWS, and we were also teaching them how to connect their braille displays to screen readers like JAWS. And that gave me another different insight. This group of people that I was working with was primarily adults, and a lot of them had lost their vision later on in life. And so they were still going through quite a big learning curve when it came to blindness skills. And Braille was just one of loads of blindness skills that they were trying to learn at the time. And so here was I trying to understand how to teach these skills in a way that really met with or gelled with their current experience, learning how to meet people where they were at in a really different way. But while I was doing this, I specialized in Braille and tactile awareness. It just kind of happened that way because Braille was something that obviously I had read and taught on and off in different aspects throughout my career, but I'd never actually taught it formally before, so it was really fantastic for me to experience this. I was asked to teach Braille music by a couple of clients actually, and who happened to be musicians and heard that I was also a musician, and they said, "Well, we are learning our contracted Braille. Would you also teach us Braille music?" And I thought to myself, "Well, I'm not really allowed to." I was told that I wasn't allowed to, but I thought to myself, "Well, if anyone's going to be able to try this out, I think it's going to be me, and we're in a really good position to do it." So I ran a pilot program where we talked about Braille music, learning Braille music alongside grade two or contracted Braille. And it actually worked out really well. It was such an eye-opener for me to kind of think, well, these people, they're already musicians, they're keen to learn Braille, and they're keen to learn Braille music alongside that because it's a really tangible skill, so it's different. People often, what I was experiencing was that musicians in particular were really keen to read Braille because they wanted to get back into playing their instruments in a different way. So we ran a very successful pilot where we had people learning Braille music and playing their instruments and things, and then COVID happened. And when COVID happened, I mean, I think we all know what we had to do, and it was basically pivot overnight. We had to pivot overnight, and we had to figure out how to teach this really hands-on skill, this really hands-on set of techniques. We had to figure out how to teach Braille remotely then. And I was kind of on the fence. I was confident enough that we could do it. At the same time, I was also a bit nervous about doing it because I wasn't really sure how. So I had to develop some quite creative techniques right off, right from the start, really. But what it did was it created a whole new world of possibilities because we weren't really allowed to work remotely at the time. But with COVID, it kind of gave us permission to be able to explore some of these techniques. And I was really keen to do that because it meant that I could see people, see more people. Up until then, I was based in the Auckland region and I could only really see people one at a time unless I created specific groups or cohorts. And this way, I was able to connect with more people by creating these kind of techniques that could be taught remotely. And one of the things that I realized, there were a few things that I realized really quickly when we started doing remote techniques. One was that we had to create a shared vocabulary. And by that, I mean that we all had to be speaking the same language. Because if I was telling someone how to perform a certain technique a certain way, and they were doing it a completely different way, I wasn't going to be able to know that because we were no longer in person. I couldn't physically be in the room and check their hand position or their body position. So I had to get really creative with the techniques that I developed. So a couple of other aspects of what I have done or did do that began to kind of coalesce in my mind at that stage. And one was that I was a tutor, a volunteer tutor at what we call music school, which was a program that ran once a month with students of school age learning Braille music. And as part of that, there's a dance and movement component. The dance and movement component really gelled with me because when I was younger, when I was a teenager, I used to do tap dancing. And you're probably wondering now why this is relevant. Because that when I came to be developing these remote techniques, it began to occur to me that spatial awareness and the way that you moved within space was really important, actually, when it came to understanding how to effectively read and master braille reading techniques. And then I began to connect the dots in another way because before I had my first job and went into employment, I studied to be a massage therapist specializing in Swedish relaxation massage. And one of the things that I learned during that study was that it was something that I could do because each movement, each set of massage strokes that you learned, it was all about kinesthetic awareness. And it was about how to move your body in space and in time. And so when I began to develop these remote learning techniques, dance and massage both came together in this amazing explosion in my brain. And I kind of thought to myself, in both dance and massage as a blind person, I began to learn how to break down the larger movements or concepts into smaller parts. And of course, as a blind child, I had to do that. I had to learn how to break down these things, or I had to be shown very specific things in very specific ways, even the teeniest, tiniest of movements, because otherwise I wouldn't understand how they fitted in a larger context. So we're coached on performing movements and we're taught how to be aware of our bodies in a much more holistic way when we're doing both dance and massage. And that created a real aha moment for me because I thought to myself, this big area of proprioception, or we're going to talk a little bit more about that word a little bit later, really comes together when we think about how to learn Braille, how we learn Braille. Because so often, what happens is when we're teaching Braille, when we're learning Braille, we focus so much on the characters that we're meant to be learning and what we're feeling on the page that actually we forget that reading Braille is not just a skill of decoding what's on the page, but there are so many aspects of it that can be learned and can be taught by being aware of this tactile awareness, spatial awareness, these tiny, tiny skills that all build up to make some larger skills or concepts possible. And so my big challenge then was how to teach this blind, how to teach blind learners how to do this as a blind instructor in a remote environment. And to be, I mean, I know, I'm sure a lot of us here have also experienced this as either learners or as teachers during COVID. But I thought to myself, why is nobody doing this in New Zealand? Why is nobody teaching this as a bigger, I guess a larger set of skills or a set of smaller skills within a much larger framework? Because it's a fundamental concept. It's fundamental to the understanding of how to read Braille. And so a whole bunch of things happened in between, and now I am the co-founder and CEO of the Tactile and Technology Literacy Centre, which is, we call ourselves Double TLC for short. And we are co-founded by blind people, so myself and two co-founders who have either come up through our system here in New Zealand, or from myself as being a Braille reader since I was young, or have experienced the system as adults and can see different perspectives and perhaps things that we could be doing differently to really enhance this experience for people. Because we thought that there had to be a better way to assess, teach, and learn about Braille and Braille-related skills that drew very heavily on the lived experiences of Braille readers who read by touch. And so, in order to do that, I had to do a really deep dive into my own Braille reading technique and the set of skills that I have, so that we began to, I guess, develop a curriculum and develop a way of teaching and a philosophy that really embodies this whole holistic body learning. So we've developed a proprietary system for assessing Braille readers, and it builds on their own experience using their own words. So this approach, it's taken me a while to get through that, but I think it was all important for context. So the approach that we're going to go through today, we're going to experience some techniques and some exercises. My lens comes from teaching adults mostly. And so my lens is coming through that predominantly adult lens. But the tips and techniques may also apply, and I'm sure they will apply to children as well, but you might need to adapt them slightly or think of different games to play or other ways to explore and experience and engage children in these experiences. It's a really whole body approach, and it's based on the experience, so it's a very experiential approach. And so, even if you don't read Braille by touch, and I know there are a few of us, it's okay. I would really love for you to try the experiments and exercises yourself and ask the questions that we go through yourself, because we want to see what you can notice. It's one of those approaches that you can't really teach it without first experiencing it yourself. And it really helps to have that sort of, I guess, the understanding that's born from that inner connection between what you experience and how you feel about it. Because then everything will make a lot more sense. Okay, so one of the first things that I realized when I was going through my learning experience about this was that there were quite a few components that I certainly don't remember touching on, and I've never experienced going through other programs with other teachers of Braille who work with adults. There are other components that we don't necessarily touch on in as much detail as I think perhaps we should. For example, one of the questions I began asking myself was, what is the sense of touch? And I really want you to think about that.
Episode one.
What is the sense of touch? Because,
You need to deal with this stuff too.
oh, sorry, I think somebody is not muted. But what is the sense of touch? It's actually something that's very personal, to you. It's something that can also be quite subjective, but it's also something that can give us more detail about our surroundings than we think. But it's interesting when we think of the sense of touch, we think of two people may perceive the same thing, the same object, the same texture, the same temperature, slightly differently. And that was something that occurred to me that we didn't really talk about. We kind of do in the fact that we need to be able to use our hands to get information from our Braille or our environment, but that's really as far as we go. So when I was researching this, when I was going through this set of techniques with people, my first question to them was, what is the sense of touch? And some of them said a number of different things, like how maybe it was, something that you experience with your hands or your skin. Some people said it was, it enabled you to do things like feel the wind blowing against your skin, or when you're sitting in front of a fire, you can feel the heat. The sense of touch enabled you to do a lot of these things. So it wasn't like it was really interesting because I didn't get the standard answers. And that's exactly what I was hoping for. That's why I asked the question. Because as adults, it's so often we don't examine these deeper concepts. But what does the sense of touch do? What does it actually do? What is its purpose? And as I was thinking about this, I mean, I'm sure there are official definitions, but the WTLC way, as I was thinking about it, it makes you aware, your sense of touch makes you aware of your external environment in a non-visual way. So one of the things I thought about when I was doing some research in this area was, so your sense of touch enables you to do all these things and experience all these things. What does that actually mean? One of the examples that came up was, for example, when somebody visually looks at something that might be really, really hot, it might be like a red color, red hot. With your sense of touch, You wouldn't necessarily experience that in the same way. Visually, you could see it was hot, but it wasn't until you got within reach of the heat of it. So I'm not going to say that you want to ever touch something that's red hot, but usually when you're coming close to it, you can feel the heat radiating off it. But that's something that your sense of touch gives you. And that's especially important when we can't see that something is red hot, for example. The sense of touch is something that needs to be within your reach, whereas visual, getting information visually, doesn't. You can experience something visually that is far, far away from you at quite a distance, whereas touch needs to come in contact with your skin somehow. So that was one aspect that caused endless hours and hours and hours of an amazing discussion. Another co component that we don't really talk about is actually connectedness. What I mean by that is talking about your relationship, your inner relationship with your sense of touch. And the reason I say that is because during my experiences working with adults in a number of different ways and from a number of different walks of life, being connected with their sense of touch was something that a lot of them hadn't had to experience in this way, in fine enough detail to be able to read and perceive and experience Braille. And that made it really hard for them to engage with Braille in the way that we need them to, which is to really dial into the details to kind of think about how to feel this the cell. And what I discovered was there was actually a lot of people that were afraid to engage with Braille on this level. They were afraid to really use, sometimes I would get people and they would touch the page with like one finger. And I would ask them to feel the page with their whole hand and they'd be really reluctant to do that. So connectedness to your sense of touch is really important. It could be the life stage that you're at, your stage of vision loss, your physical abilities or your confidence, or your experience and exposure to different aspects of the sense of touch. And it also talks about connectedness, also talks about presence, whether you're fully present or not, and how you're feeling at the time. Okay. One of the questions that I'd like you to have a think about is if I gave you a scale from 1 to 10, 1 being not at all connected and 10 being super, super connected, what is your connection to your sense of touch? I know that may sound like a really abstract question, and I don't want you to think about it. The first number that comes into your head is usually going to be the right one. So on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being not at all connected, 10 being super, super connected, what do you think currently is your, how connected do you feel to your sense of touch? The next component that I began to experiment with and experience in Braille a little bit more is this idea of proprioception. And now I mentioned that word before, and it is learning what a movement feels like. So, for example, as a blind person, when I was thinking about how to explain proprioception, I talked about it in terms of learning dance before, I talked about it in terms of massage. But as a blind person, one of the things that I realized was also had a lot to do with proprioception was moving with a cane. So you had the feeling of balance. You had to learn how to balance so that you can walk. But then along with that comes this whole how learning how to feel the movement of your hands and your arms and your wrists and your whole body when you're walking with a cane. That to me is a really good example of proprioception because you're feeling your body, how it's moving in space. You're feeling where you are in space. And you're trying to figure out the relationship to where you are, to where other things are. Another example might be feeling someone's body language or your guide dog moving when you're walking with someone. So, for example, if you're walking with someone that you've walked with for a long time, their movements, their body language might feel really familiar to you. Whereas if you're working with someone new, you kind of have to reset your proprioception because they might be a little bit taller or take longer steps, that kind of thing. So you've kind of recalibrate and figure out then how you move in relation to them. And so when we're learning Braille, thinking about this concept of proprioception, it's even more important, I think, for blind people in general who can't see how we are moving or how other people are moving, and we can't observe others and copy their movements in the same way. We've got to be shown a lot of things in order to really experience this. And if we're not shown certain things, or if certain things aren't broken down, we have an incomplete concept in our minds of what a movement is or a concept is. So those were all the sort of things that I thought about when thinking about developing these techniques for remote learning. We can talk about things like posture. I don't think I necessarily need to, except to say that that it being nice and relaxed is one of the keys to really good, effective Braille reading. Being relaxed and being comfortable. You can talk about having your feet on the floor because that helps you to feel grounded and stable. You can talk about having a flat surface in front of you. You can talk about having warm hands. You can talk about all these things. A lot of us here in this audience, I think we're all very familiar with that. One of the things that we can talk about when we think of proprioception and things in posture is that when we read Braille, we don't necessarily always sit in the same position, or we're not always in the same position. We might even be standing up. And so our positioning is not always ideal. So just as you're sitting there listening to what we're talking about now, have a think about how you are feeling, how your posture is at the moment. What is your posture doing? What's your body doing? Do you feel like you're in a relaxed position? Do you feel like you're in a position that feels good for learning? And it's really interesting because what feels good for one person might not feel so good for another. The same is also true if you're thinking about how to position your Braille. Because in the real world, when we read Braille, we won't always have Braille positioned on a flat surface or on a table in front of us. We might have it, for example, in our lap. So how might we position our Braille to make the best possible use of the space and the resources that we have? Okay, so now we're gonna do some fun things. I hope they're gonna be fun anyway. Now I did mention earlier on that we were going to have an object with us. Now, if you haven't got one, maybe you could find something that's nearby. I want it to feel nothing like Braille whatsoever, nothing at all. I'll explain why in a minute. But what I call this is a reset object. And it's really funny because what a reset object does, and it's amazing how this works. It's absolutely amazing how it works, is it helps you to draw your attention to the tactile sensations in your hands and brings you back into the present moment. It's a great way to reset your fingers and your hands and your brain before, during, and after a reading session. And this is really important because often, if you're reading Braille for a long time, even for myself sometimes, reading Braille for a long time, my hands get a little bit numb or they get a little bit insensitive. And sometimes I'm just like, oh, I need to continue reading, but I can't. So one of the things that I discovered that works really well is to have a reset object. So the key is to make sure that it feels nothing like Braille at all. And if you could have that nearby you as we do this experiment, that'd be great. So what I would like you to do is to, if you've got some Braille nearby, whether it's hard copy or electronic, what I want you to do is I want you to feel that Braille first. So I want you to put your hands on the Braille, both hands just on the Braille anywhere, And I want you to maybe just run your fingers along the braille, regardless of whether you're actually reading it or not. I want you to run your fingers along the braille, and I want you to think about a couple of things as you're doing that. So the first is, what are you noticing? What I mean by that is, what is your first impression of the braille? So how does it feel? Does it feel sharp? Does it feel a little bit flat? Does it feel soft? Does it feel easy or hard to read or to feel? Can you feel the different individual dots? Can you feel different individual cells? And then what I want you to do is to experience. Now, I want you to think about this in a way, taking us back to the scale of 1 to 10. One being I can't feel this braille at all. 10 being I can feel it really, really well and I feel super, super comfortable. Where do you feel you sit on that braille reading scale right now? And I'm doing this deliberately at the beginning of our experimentation so that you've got a baseline, so you've got a bit of a baseline. So on a scale from 1 to 10, 1 being can't really feel it at all, not really connecting with it, to 10 being super connected and can feel it really well. Where do you feel? Where on that scale? So now what I'd like you to do is to take your hands off that braille, and I want you to find your reset object, the object nearby that feels nothing like braille, and I want you to take it in one or both hands. Let's do both hands. If I was with you in person, I would walk you through a couple of experiments using one hand. But because we're limited on time, we'll do both hands. And I want you to experience this object with your fingertips and the pads of your fingers. Feel it in the palms of your hands. And you can even do some really interesting things. You can maybe feel it on your forearms. So if you've got sleeves, you might want to just roll them up. Feel it on your forearms, maybe the backs of your hands. And this is where we're resetting. I want you to think about, with this particular object, I want you to think about the textures that you can feel. Maybe the size, the temperature. Is it cool or is it warm or is it not really anything? The shape. And also the weight. All of those things dial into different aspects of your sense of touch. So this is a really good thing to do whenever you're having a little bit of trouble feeling the braille, or you want to dial into braille in a different way. And you might find within a braille session that you reset, you do this all the time. So now what I'd like you to do is I want you to put down that object, have it nearby within arm's reach, put it down. And now I want you to feel that braille again. Feel the same braille that you felt before in the same way. So place both your hands on it, run both your hands over it, use your fingers, the pads of your fingers, maybe the palms of your hands, to just feel that braille. And I want you to now think about that scale of 1 to 10 where you were. And I want you to think about now where you are. Has anything changed having used the reset object? One being, I'm still not really connected, not doing it for me. 10 being, yes, I am super connected, something's changed. Maybe you're somewhere in the middle where you're like, I feel different. It feels different than it did. I can't really explain why, but it feels different. What has changed? What are you noticing? And my wording there is really deliberate about what you'd notice, because that's a really important concept. One of the things that I don't like to do is to put, I guess, what someone is supposed to be feeling in the way of what they're actually feeling, because that's one of the disconnects that I see all the time when people are trying to learn Braille, is if people feel, especially as adults, they feel like they're supposed to be feeling something in particular and they're just not. So have a think about how that experiment was, how your reset went. It's really interesting to see what you notice, and maybe we can talk about that in our question time. Now, I'd like to dial into another technique that we do learn, as in I did learn it in a way when I was learning Braille, but as adults, I'm not sure that I've seen it taught in any great detail. And it's something that I like to call the hand scan. It can be known as a whole bunch of different things, and you might actually already do this if you are a Braille reader, or you might teach other people how to do this, but you might call it something a little bit different. So a hand scan is one of those really fundamental Braille reading techniques that gives you a really quick overview of where information is on a hard copy Braille page, especially. It's similar to how a visual reader might glance at a page. So in Braille, we use space and formatting to show how different aspects of the text work, to show emphasis in some ways as well. And it obviously it depends on which country you're in as to how much formatting or how it's done. But hand scanning is a really good way to tell us where the braille is and what aspects of that braille to pay attention to. So for example, if you've got a centered heading, you'll be able to notice that instantly when you do a hand scan. So one of the things that I recommend we do for this exercise, if you can have your braille on a flat surface, if you've only got electronic braille, that's okay too. We can kind of do it in a different way. If you've got a braille device, we can explore your braille device maybe. So you can have your device on or off, but we're going to be exploring the device. If you don't have either, you could maybe explore a surface. So if you've got like a table, if you've got a textured tablecloth, or if you've got like a towel or something, we can explore any, or even your clothing, even like the clothing that you're wearing at the moment, we could potentially use. So hand scanning, I find that we generally like to experiment with both hands to start with. Even if somebody is reading with, has a dominant hand that they read with, it's really important to begin to have this awareness and this proprioception, this tactile awareness as well in both hands. So once you get familiar with this technique, you can do it really quickly. But for now, we're going to just really have an explore and see what we notice. So there are a number of different ways to do this technique, and you can do whatever way works for you. At this point, we're not reading the braille, we're just experiencing the technique of hand scanning. Okay. So using both our hands, if we want to place them at the top center of the page with our palms down, so we want our whole palm touching the page, our entire palm. Sometimes, depending on if you've got sleeves or not, you might want to roll them up because sometimes you might feel things on your forearms as well, and that's quite an interesting experiment in itself. So if you place both hands flat on the top center of the braille page, and then what you can do is you can gently, gently, gently draw them to the outsides of the page. So your left hand might go to the left and the right hand might go to the right. So you want to draw them towards the edges of the page. Notice the sensation as we're going along. Notice what you're feeling in your palms, in your fingertips. Then I want you to bring your hands closer to your body, so further down the page. Pass them gently further down the page, closer to you, and then in towards the center of the page. So you've kind of created a bit of a triangle shape. So you went out towards the top, but then you're coming closer to you and you're coming in towards the center. Both hands. Notice what you notice. Do both of your hands feel the same? Do they feel a little bit different? Are you experiencing more sensation on the palms of your hands, your fingertips? Then I want you to do the same, but bring them closer to your body still, but out towards the edge of the page again. So we've kind of created a hourglass movement almost, or two triangles, one with the point facing down. So you start out wide and you come in narrow and then you go wide again. That's one way of doing it. You can draw your hands apart again, sort of towards the bottom of the page to feel what you notice. That's one way of doing it. But what I want you to do is experiment with a couple of different ways. You can do one or both hands. Generally, I say to start with both because it really gives you an idea of what you're noticing. For example, if you've got a dominant braille reading hand, or if you are working with someone who does, it would be really interesting to notice what they feel on the other hand. What sensations am I noticing? So keep doing it. As I'm talking and going through these questions, keep doing that hand scanning motion. You don't have to do it in exactly the same way. You can do like an arc shape with one or both hands, so like a big circle or a curve. You can use straight lines, either vertically or horizontally. Just anything that gives you information about the surface, the braille, the thing that you're trying to feel with a really, really light touch. So, what am I noticing? Where am I noticing information on my hands? Does one hand feel more sensitive than the other hand? And how does it feel moving both hands at once versus moving one hand at a time? So, if you've been using both hands, maybe try feeling with one hand instead. Scan the page with one and see how we go. So, you can keep doing that while we're talking. Now, I like to talk about the three C's of Braille. It was something that came to me in the moment one day. So, Braille can only be read when our hands are moving through motion. This is a really important concept that a lot of us know because, of course, I mean, how else are we supposed to feel Braille? If our hands aren't moving, we can't really feel it. I mean, it might seem really obvious, but especially to new learners, it's not. It's because some people, especially adults, get really stuck. They might get to like one character or one word and they might go round and around on it, or they might get a little bit stuck because they want to get it right before they move on. But the really important thing is that Braille is read through motion. And so we can practice different ways of reading, focusing on three separate but very distinct areas that all work together for really effective Braille reading technique. And so we're talking about the three C's of Braille. So the first C is code. So these are the dots themselves. And we learn to feel individual characters and shapes this way. The second C is context and how each character feels in connection with other characters. So this is that concept of connectedness again, but in a different way. This time we're not connecting with ourselves, we're connecting with one character with another to create context. And then the third C is consistency. So making sure that we're moving at a really consistent pace. So let's examine this now in a couple of different ways. So let's think about code now. So when someone's trying to learn the Braille code, they might experience things in a different way. So let's have a think and a try with the Braille that we have. So when you're trying to figure out what Braille character you're reading, or when you're working with others who are, perhaps their movements are slower and more deliberate and thoughtful. So try that. You might have a heavier touch as well because you're still trying to work it out. You're trying to process what you're feeling, processing things character by character. And this doing things this way can take quite a long time to master. So I want you to try that. So with your Braille, I want you to just find any line or any part of your Braille, and I want you to really dial in on this. So move a bit slowly, move with a slightly heavier touch, and see how that feels. You're trying to kind of feel every single dot and every single thing. But it's really important that when we are working with Braille, when we're enhancing our Braille technique, that we don't get stuck on the code stage. We don't get stuck here. Because what happens is we are, I mean, I like to use an analogy of zooming in and zooming out like a camera lens. So when we're learning code, we're zoomed in really, really far. So we're thinking about the details on the page. We're thinking about the detail, the dots, the characters themselves. We're thinking about them in a really micro, minute way. And we're not really able to kind of picture anything else around it. We don't really know how it fits in. So really slow, deliberate, quite heavy sometimes hand movements. Now, as a contrast, I want you to try this. So we talk about context now. So when you reach a stage where you're not decoding anymore and you're working with context, You might want to try faster, freer movements. So your hands are flowing a little bit more naturally. You've got a lighter touch. You're processing groups of characters and large shapes and words rather than just doing character by character. So even if you can't feel or read the characters at this point as we're trying our experiment, just try moving your hands very lightly, lightly, and more quickly. So I'm not saying you have to move your hands quickly, but just move them more quickly to see if you can gauge a little bit more of what's going on the page. So in this mode, we're noticing how the shapes and the characters fit within the text around them, so larger context. And this is probably the most challenging aspect that we must get used to because it involves skipping over characters or shapes that we might be a little bit unfamiliar with or don't recognize straight away. But we will come back to them. As we learn to read Braille, we can go back. Now, the interesting thing that, again, this is going into some of those details that we don't necessarily realize we're doing if we've been reading Braille for a while, and we're not necessarily taught if we're working with Braille readers, is that we can jump between code and context, zooming in versus zooming out. So context is when we're zoomed out a little bit more and we can see a little bit more of what's going on. We can jump between these, and we naturally do as Braille readers all the time. But when you're working with someone new, or when you're new to experiencing this yourself, you have to practice these. You have to be guided to experience these so that you can figure out how they work together to develop accuracy. Because with accuracy comes speed and fluency. It's not the other way around. You don't work on speed and fluency before you work on accuracy, because in that case, what you're working on then is context. And you can work on context without necessarily needing to recognize all the characters. And of course, then we talk about consistency, so making sure that we're practicing consistently, either maybe in shorter sessions to start with, but moving at a comfortable and steady pace from left to right. Make sure that you have a consistent routine for practicing or for learning. That's really all I want to say about consistency, because I think we're all familiar with that. Now, I'm realizing that we're coming quite close to the end when we're going to be asking questions. That's okay. We've got some more experiments to do before we get there, though. So, we talk about tracking, and tracking is the movement of the hands across the page to accurately and consistently follow a tactile line. So, from the techniques we've already examined, we can use a light touch, and we use the pads of our fingers to make sure that we're going straight, and a slow and steady, sort of a gliding movement. Now, what I like to do when I'm thinking about ways to experience Braille with people in a different way is think of activities that they can do. So, for example, when you're doing this movement, it might be similar to if you're trailing your fingertips through water, or wiping a table with a cloth. So the light touch is the trailing your fingers through water. Think about how that feels. And the wiping the table is kind of like a more flowing movement that you might do, like it's an everyday activity. And one of the things I would like you to experience now is this thing called the touch test that I like to think about, which is making sure that you get your sense of touch right. So the right pressure when you're feeding Braille, reading Braille. And the thing is that, again, it's not the same for everybody. It's not the same. So what might feel right for one person might be different for another person. But I want you to try this with the Braille that you've got. First of all, I want you to really feel the Braille with a heavy pressure, heavy pressure. So take both of your hands and pay attention to what's happening with both of your hands, because you might also find that one hand needs to feel a little bit more deeply than the other one. So feel with a really heavy pressure, as if you're dragging your hands through really thick mud or something like that. How does it feel? And what sensations are you noticing in your hands? So now I want you to pause. Just kind of notice what you notice and pause. And I want you to grab your Wii reset object, which is nearby. So you can do this. You can find your reset object whenever you feel like you need to change pace a little bit. Feel your reset object for a little while. Doesn't need to be long. Then pop it down. And then I want you to try this sensation of gliding your hands over the page. So wiping the table or trailing your fingertips through water, that kind of very light touch. You don't want to break the surface of the water, but you want a very light touch experience that. And what sensations are you noticing? How does the braille feel now? Most people actually like to find a nice in between. So I think about Kim mentioned using her guide dog as a reset object when I'm thinking about my own braille pressure. I kind of like to think about somewhere in between where it's kind of light enough to glide across, but not so light that you can't really feel it. So grab your reset object again, and I want to do a little bit of talking before we stop for questions about this concept of proprioception. So in a slightly different way, because again, reading Braille is not just an experience that you have with your hands, you have it with your entire body as well. So proprioception, getting used to how your body feels and moves in the environment around you. So learning what it feels like to write Braille characters and read in a straight line are two of the things that proprioception gives us. So one thing that I had to do when we were figuring out how to teach Braille reading techniques remotely was come up with a way for people to experience movement that is conducive to reading Braille versus movement that isn't, in a way that everybody could understand. And for this, we use our body as the known point. So our body is kind of like, so we create a shared vocabulary, but we use our body as I guess the point that everybody knows where things are in relation to. So for this exercise, we won't go through the whole lot of exercises, but we will do a little bit of experimentation to see how different things feel when you are reading Braille. So, but first of all, I want you to clasp your hands together and just give them a bit of a rub together. But then I want you to take one of your hands and feel the other one. So take us, for example, I'm using my left hand to feel my right hand, and I'm going down from the tips of my fingers all the way down my hand to my wrist, which is where kind of like the hand narrows and joins onto your arm. And it's really interesting when, so I'm going to stop at my wrist and I'm going to gently sort of squeeze my wrist, just really, really gently to draw my awareness to it. It's really interesting because often when we are reading Braille, learning to read Braille, especially as adults, we don't pay attention to these parts of our arms because we're paying so much attention to our fingers. So what I'd like to do is to experience the movement of the wrist. So if you bend your wrist down to like so if your hand is kind of straight at the moment, you bend your wrist down and you rotate it. Rotate your wrist while keeping your forearm still. And this is really important because sometimes when we're reading, our wrist goes a little bit sideways. And people wonder why, when they get to the beginning or the end of a line, they're not able to read Braille in a straight line. And sometimes it happens because your wrist is going sideways. So if you can imagine, if you have a surface in front of you where you can rest your elbow on that surface, I would recommend starting like that and having your arm straight so that your fingers are pointing up towards 12 o'clock, up towards the ceiling, with your arm resting, the elbow resting against the table. And then I want you to gently, so your wrist at this point should be relatively straight. And then I want you to gently tilt it, just gently. You won't be able to go too far either way, if you're doing this exercise correctly. So have keeping your hands straight as if you're pressing against a wall or a window in front of you. Tilt your wrist gently to 10 o'clock or 11 o'clock and 1 o'clock. Yeah, 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock, 12 o'clock, 11 o'clock. That's isolating the movement of your wrist so you become aware of it. a couple of other quick things that I want you to be aware of as you're experimenting, as you're doing your hand scan. One is what your elbow is doing. So if you place both of your hands on the rail again in front of you, if you've got that available, or a flat surface, if you don't, it's okay. I want you to run your whichever hand you were using to help find your wrist down to your elbow now. And I want you to just touch your elbow and be aware of where that is. And then I want you to practice while keeping your elbow right in by your side, this idea of moving your elbow in towards your body as if you're going to give yourself a hug, and then out straight again as if you were going to start reading your braille. So all of this is important. Your wrist movement, your elbow movement, and your shoulder movement are all really important, because once we begin to be aware of these, we begin to isolate these movements. We begin to then be aware of maybe where we're going a little bit wrong with our braille, or if we need to be experimenting with perhaps reading things a little bit differently. So if you want to do your hand scan again, or if you want to try reading across a line of braille, this time I want you to think about where is your wrist positioned in relation to your hand? What feels comfortable? Where is your elbow positioned in relation to the rest of your body? And what feels comfortable for you? And the last thing I'll touch on before we stop for questions is the concept that when we're reading Braille, a lot of people, even Braille readers who've been reading for ages, a lot of us sometimes tend to tense ourselves up when we're reading. So for some people, that could mean I've seen all manner of different things. So they could carry a lot of tension in their face or in their shoulders, for example. I was teaching a class one day, and I was helping people experience different braille reading techniques, and they had their shoulders up around their ears because they were so tense. So think about how relaxed your body feels. And then when we're talking about reading braille, we don't want to sit stock still like a statue. It's not just about moving our hands and our arms. We talked about braille being a really holistic experience, being able to experience braille in a whole body way, I suppose. And for us, in order for us to do that, we need to be able to feel free to move. And so what I sometimes do is, well, in fact, what I always do as a braille reader is I give myself permission to move my shoulders ever so slightly from left to right. And you could try that now by just gently sitting still and rocking your shoulders just gently from left to right to kind of get that movement. Might be my shoulders, might be my sort of torso as well. Just getting used to moving very gently from left to right, because that helps us to make sure that we've got a really nice steady hand position when we're reading braille. And also remember that you can move your braille towards you and away from you. Again, we're thinking about what feels really comfortable. On your lap, you might not necessarily be able to move it too far away from you, but you might be able to lift and move it a little bit away. But you can move your braille towards and away from you, especially if you've got hard copy braille. So that means that sometimes, for example, when you're reading the top of the page, it might be closer to you. And then as you go down the page, you might move your book further and further away from you so that you still have a really nice, comfortable hand and arm position so that you can read braille. That's a really whistle stop tour. I'm sorry, I had to kind of speed through it. I've got so much other things that we could talk about in this space, but I'm aware that we need to stop and have a few questions now. So I'm not quite sure how you want to run the session, but I'm quite happy to take questions. I'm not promising I'll have all the answers because I'm still learning myself. But if anybody has any questions, or if you'd like to know about anything else and anything that I've touched on or any other things, let me know. How would you like to take the questions?
Wonderful. So thank you so much, Chantel, for this has been so fascinating for me. It's amazing when you've read Braille a long time like I haven't. I don't think about it, but it made me really think about it, which is really, really great. I love that. So if anyone does have questions, you could raise your hand. You can do that with, I don't think we have anyone on a phone, but that would be star six. So you could do Alt Y on the PC or Option Y on the Mac, or you're in your iPhone app, you will see the action reactions. You can do it there. Or if you have trouble, just unmute yourself and say that you have a question, and we can take people in the order that they appear. Rhianna is going to watch for a hands up. I had a question and a bit of a comment when I touched my reset item, and the first time I did it with the Braille, I thought the Braille was mushy and very like kind of flat at the beginning. And then when I after my reset, I felt it was crisper. So it was quite that was quite interesting to me that that
Oh,
can do
wow.
that. Yeah, like it I don't know. But I had a question. Have you noticed, are there any techniques differently? Do you suggest different things when someone's reading on a one line display as opposed to a hard copy braille and a page?
It's really interesting because some of these techniques obviously don't translate in the same way. So when we were doing our hand scanning technique, and we were experiencing braille with the whole palm of our hand and things like that, you can't really do that in the same way on an electronic braille display. You can do it with your device. Generally, the techniques, the reset will work the same. Sometimes people, in fact, it's really interesting because sometimes, and I haven't thought about this in this way, so you've given me something to think about. You're right in that a lot of the time when people are using a reset object, the braille kind of jumps out at them. It feels a bit sharper. It feels a bit like, wow, like I didn't quite understand, what I was feeling until then. Sometimes using a reset object when you're using a braille display, that can have a really different effect too. If it jumps out at you when reading hard copy braille, it's probably going to jump out when you're reading electronic braille as well. The techniques that I generally focus on when reading on a one-line braille display focus more around hand position and arm position, and sort of those posture-related things, because otherwise, like if you're using panning buttons on the front or on the top or some form of scrolling your display forward and back, and that can get quite repetitive if you're not sitting comfortably, and you could potentially experience some pain or some injuries if you do it for a long time in a certain way. So what I generally like to do with that is to experiment more with those arm and wrist and hand techniques to really sort of dial in deeply into those. Maybe if you're isolating the wrist or if you're isolating the elbow, as in by isolating, I mean drawing awareness to and practicing movements with, so that you can begin to experience that in a much more, I guess, a comfortable way. The context about, sorry, the techniques about context and code, zooming in and zooming out, they still apply, but you will need to experience them in a different way. So you're only experiencing them with one line. But what I would do is try those techniques with maybe one quite long line that goes across the entire length of your braille display first, and then see if you can pick up things like, with electronic braille. Obviously, with when you're hand scanning, you can notice where there are spaces on the page, where there might be space around a centered heading, for example, or an indented paragraph. You're not necessarily going to get the same experience on an electronic braille display, but you can still notice where there is space. So with that one, notice where there are spaces between words, or perhaps where there are characters in the lower part of the cell versus the upper part. So you're dialing more into those slightly smaller feeling, nuanced things than necessarily using your hand in the same way as we would when we're doing a hand scan, if that makes sense.
Awesome. Thank you. Do we have other questions? Does anyone else have a question or a comment about how they felt when they did the exercises? Everyone is shy.
I'm hoping it's a good sign.
Just a quick
Someone,
question.
go ahead, Peg.
And this is kind of off the topic of what you were showing. And thank you so much. It's just been great. I'm not left-handed, I'm right-handed, but I've always been Wondering how, for left-handed Braille readers, how it works for going across the line with two hands, if their dominant hand is the left hand.
Yes, I think I understand what you're saying. So it's really interesting. And you know, I'd like to kind of dial into this a little bit more. It's interesting because I am right-handed, so that's my dominant hand when doing other things. But I pick up more detail with my left hand. So it's quite interesting because your dominant hand, whether you're right-handed or left-handed, doesn't necessarily translate the same when you're thinking about braille reading technique. So for example, my right hand, I can still pick up detail with my right hand, and that's fine. I can read with one, like with either hand or with both hands. And I can read at the same pace with either hand or both hands. But my right hand tends to be the one that kind of figures out where I'm going, more so. Like it'll still pick up information, but if I really want to get detailed about something, I'll generally examine it a little bit more with my left hand. And so I think it really depends, so there's some people also have a dominant braille reading hand, which may be different. I when I first began doing this work, I thought it would be the same, but what I discovered was quite often there was no pattern, or there was no sort of I guess there was no pattern to whether people's dominant hand translated to braille reading or not, because some people, their dominant hand was their right hand and they could pick up more detail with their right, but there were also other people like me where their dominant hand was their right hand and they picked up more detail with their left hand. And I think that was what really made me concentrate a lot more on making sure people had experiences of reading with both hands, because you don't realize just how much you assimilate when you're reading with both hands versus one hand. And that would be an experiment I would encourage people to try.
Okay, so
Is that
the
kind of
track, yeah, more or less the system then of tracking, like if your dominant hand is your left hand and you're picking up the information primarily with that hand, and like then your right hand would be tracking. That doesn't
Yeah,
sound
kind of
right. That doesn't sound right,
piloting.
but because
Well, it kind of is. It is
physiological.
tracking. It is tracking.
But
It is. It's kind of leading the way, right? It's in front. So it's kind of it's the hand that leads the way. And it's really interesting because I'm thinking now about instances where people will read with their right hand, for example, and their left hand just comes along for the ride.
Right, yeah. But
And
the other
so,
way around. The
yeah,
other
but
way
the other way
around
around.
would be.
Yeah. So what you can do is, for example, if your left hand is the dominant hand and
Right.
you're able to feel and you're not really getting a lot from your right hand, then what I encourage people to do is to kind of let their left hand push their right hand along, so that the right hand is still engaged, it's still there, and then eventually your right hand will get the message and kind of be like, oh, okay, well, I kind of need to be here. I don't really know what I'm doing. So the left hand is quite instrumental in that aspect where it's pushing the other hand along. Whereas if your right hand is more dominant, then kind of make sure that your left hand is kind of attached to your right hand, and so the right hand is doing the leading, but your left hand needs to kind of keep up. So I mean, either way, it's interesting because we're reading from left to right. So there's only sort of one primary movement. I mean, I always encourage people to practice the movement of reading the other way as well. But there's one primary movement. It's just about figuring out whether your left hand is being dominant by pushing the right hand along, or if it's the one that's picking up more detail.
Right.
Does that
But
make
I
sense?
think also, Peg, you were, because I think, remember, we had a conversation about this in our Braille display group once, and it was kind of like, if you're tracking and which hand goes to the next line first, you're
Yeah,
not crossing hands.
it puzzles me because I've never.
We were trying to figure out, like, where do your, because we all had different Braille reading techniques, and we were explaining them, and when we were saying, well, which hand goes down first? Like, I'm like you, Chantel. I read I'm right-handed, but my left hand is better. I can read with both, but my left hand is the one, and I find it's reading, and the right hand's ahead of it, and then the left hand drops down to the next line first, and then the right hand comes down. But then other people, like we were wondering, do the hands ever cross if you're left-handed and you Like which hand is going down to the next line first, and or something, you know?
I wouldn't cross the hands because
No,
that kind of creates
no.
that creates a bit of a disconnect, and you kind of lose the flow of what you're trying to read then. So what I would do in that case, if your left hand is picking up more of the detail and you kind of need it there, if you need it there, you can move your hand, both your hands to the end of the line, and then move your left hand back and down. So this and it, you know, people have, like you mentioned, different reading techniques. And so it's one of those things that you might have to get used to. You might have to get used to going to the end, but then very quickly your hand gets used to going back to the beginning. So it's not as fast as some of the techniques where you might separate the hands. So, for example, where you might go to the middle of the line or sort of two-thirds of the way across, and then your left hand goes back and down as at the same
Yeah,
time as your right hand
that's
reads,
what I
because
think mine does.
yeah.
I think that's what mine does. But my left
That will
hand
come
is
with
definitely
time.
the one that goes down,
Yeah,
for
and that will
sure.
come with time. It will come with time and it'll come with practice. It's but certainly I would say go all the way to the end with both hands first, so that you know that you've picked up everything on the line, because that transference of technique comes when you really practice with the hand that is not dominant. And so once that hand becomes really familiar with reading by itself, then it becomes more confident when it comes to reading with the hand that does pick up information, if that makes sense.
Maria has a question. I'm not sure she was able to raise her hand or not, but when
Yeah,
you're ready,
hands
Maria.
raised.
Hey, it's Maria.
Hello.
I'm left-handed, and so when I was taught Braille, I was taught that your left hand reads, your right hand trails. Because it picks up the next, like if you're reading letter to letter or whatever word, your left hand is reading, but your right hand is also tracking to see what either the next letter or word is. And that's how I learned how to read a line in Braille. Even though I'm
Yes.
left-handed, or even if you're right-handed, that's the way I was taught.
Ah, yeah, that's really interesting. Thank you for sharing that. I think a lot of us are. It depends on obviously the dominant hand, but what I want to really get people to begin experiencing is that the fact that both hands have may play a different part. So, for example, you may be taught that, I think, and in fact, I think that's kind of the way that I was taught because of the way that I was learning Braille and the hand that picked up more detail. But actually, I want people to be able to experience something a little bit different, because your experience of that might be slightly different. So, for example, when I'm reading on my Braille display at the moment, and I'm just using my actually, I've got some hard copy Braille here, so I'm just going to experience this in a different way. So I've got some hard copy Braille, and I'm using my right hand to go across, and I can still do it, but I find that I feel a little bit lopsided, because yeah, you're right, your right hand might be tracking, but the left hand is not there to kind of pick up the extra detail. But the thing is, unless we train these skills and these experiences and these sensations separately, we don't really know, because there might be some people that, yeah, they're taught to read that way, but it doesn't feel very good. So they experience it because that's the way they've always learned and they've always been taught. But actually, there's a way that feels better for them. And I think encouraging people to experience these things in slightly different ways may help people to experience Braille reading in a different way. And because I think we have a lot more to offer when we're learning by experiencing these techniques differently, we can maybe help to share what the experience is like for us as well.
Yeah, I imagine Maria, that's probably how I was. I mean, I don't remember much of my
Yeah,
Braille teaching, but I would imagine that's how I was taught too. But I can
like I
see
was.
that how important it is to use both
Yeah.
hands and to do a technique that feels okay for you, you know,
Yeah.
like.
Like I said, I'm left-handed. I learned Braille like in 2001 to 2003. continuous. Like I'm still learning it. So it's a very long, I find a very long process. I mean, I know my grade one Braille, it's contractions, but I just find I have like when, like because I'm left-handed, for me, it was great to be able to read, but it was also great to use my right hand to like keep going because it was like, okay, so I have this word. And sometimes you would be able to just pick up what the sentence was saying because you were using your two hands at the same time. You know what I mean? Like,
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep, exactly. And that's why I always encourage people to use both hands, because there's a lot of incidental information, or that context piece that we were talking about. There's a lot of incidental information that happens when people use both of their hands. So, and for some people, for you, it might be, it seems that your left hand is it's your dominant hand, but it's also the hand that picks up the most information. Is that right?
Yes. Yes, yeah. That's right. Yeah. Yeah. But my right hand helps. Also, because it's picking up other letters at the same time, that's giving me more information, like to go on. So it makes a sentence faster to read, kind of, sort of.
Yep, absolutely. And that's another experiment that people could try if you want to, is try reading with one hand across a line and see how it feels, and then try reading with the other, and then try reading with both. That's something that I walk people through, because I find that it's really valuable, because then they kind of realize things about reading with one or both hands that they might not have realized before. And I think that's a really powerful realization. And I think it's one of those things that helps to create this really solid Braille reading technique, is being able to use both hands. I know some people who have read Braille since childhood and were only taught to read with one hand. So for example, I know of some people here who would read across a line with their right hand, even though it didn't really feel right to do so, and their left hand was taught to just stay at the margin and stay put so that they could come back to it. And I think it might be a good way for some people, but I actually think that it's a technique that needs to be introduced with a wider set of range of techniques, because if you're only teaching people to read like that, you're halving their experience and, you know, the way that they could potentially read. And I know some people who can read really fast that way. So if you can, that's amazing. Like it's really fascinating, just, you know, experiencing these different reading techniques that people are talking about as well. So it really is about finding what works for you. I know of some people who would read all the way to the end of a line with their right hand and then let their left hand kind of come and catch up, and then that's kind of like the end of the line, so you stop there and then the left hand goes all the way back and then down, and then the right hand comes back to join it. So it's you know, and some of this awareness piece that we're talking about helps you really to develop and to hone your own Braille reading technique in a way that might differ from the way that you were taught, but it's just about what feels good for you and what gets you the most, the best reading experience for you.
Can I also say something else? I find when I'm reading a recipe, like a Braille recipe, I use my left hand alone, just because I'm like, you know, my right hand may be occupied or just anyways using, and I find I'm off balance using one hand. So
do you mean you're off balance when you're reading?
With one hand, yeah. Yeah,
that's really interesting. Yeah, it's really interesting to notice, isn't it?
Yeah.
I just had another little comment and I've heard from some people who are either one-handed Braille readers, whether left or right, that if they try to read with the other hand, they don't recognize the dots at all. So I've often wondered how that's happened. I guess somehow they've only learned to recognize them with the one hand.
It's about training that skill. So it's about making sure that when the thing with the ways that I've experienced Braille being taught is that you are encouraged to read with both hands, but then if somebody can't feel the dots with whichever hand, so they've got a dominant Braille reading hand, but if someone can't feel the dots with the other hand, then they just don't use it. It just becomes a placeholder then. And I think it's really important to really dial into how each hand feels in itself and get into the reasons why. When you're first teaching somebody how to to learn Braille or teaching somebody this way, is to kind of think, well, why does this using this hand feel uncomfortable? And quite often it's because, like you mentioned, they're not able to recognize the characters as well or as quickly. But that in itself comes with training. It comes with experience. And I think if we begin to isolate that hand and do some specific work just with that hand, and start with experiences, like, you know, we talked about connectedness, about how does it feel to use this hand to read. And at first it might be like, oh, it feels really uncomfortable because I'm not familiar with it, and it feels a little bit scary because I'm not able to read as well. Some people might think that, you know, some of the experiences that I've heard in my own teaching is that they go backwards if they're using their other hand, because it's just like, oh, well, you know, I feel like I can't really read now and I feel like I've gone backwards. But actually it's just like learning any other skill. It's just about creating that awareness and, you know, making an effort to train that other hand separately. And I think, you know, before you can get really familiar with reading together, it helps to be aware of how each hand feels separately. And then when you introduce the second hand again, it's not feeling quite so scared and alone.
You know what I wondered too, and feel free, anyone who has other questions, I see no hands. I wondered that my left hand might be a dominant hand because when I was a kid and used a white cane, you know, when I would feel for Braille, like on the wall, like signs or Braille, my right hand was already occupied, so I had to use my left hand. But now I use a guide dog, so my left hand is occupied. So I find sometimes I now read those things with my right. So I don't know if that's any part of when I was first learning, when I would be out and feeling for things, it was that left hand that was feeling for things because the right hand was occupied with my cane. I don't know. Yeah, I kind of ever wondered that, if that was anything to do with anything.
And I mean, the answer is that I don't know either, because I'm the same. I'm right hand dominant, and like, so I'm right handed, so I use my cane obviously in my right hand. But that experience would be different for people who are left handed, and perhaps use their cane in their left hand. I guess it depends on how you also encounter Braille in the environment, because I was thinking about it as you were talking, and I was thinking about feeling Braille on the wall as I was walking. That's not a common experience here in New Zealand, but if I did encounter any Braille on a wall, no matter which side it was on, I think I would always switch my cane to my left hand so I could read with my right hand, which is so interesting because it's my left hand that picks up more of the detail.
Yeah, I don't know. I just meant like when I was first learning Braille, like my parents would put Braille around the house or like little signs, right? So if I had, you know, my cane, I mean, I wouldn't use my cane in the house, but like outside or something, if they marked things down, if I had my cane, I don't know if that's why my left hand is better. That's why I was just wondering if there was a reason why my left hand was more dominant.
Well, maybe it's just more experienced. Like, you know, like you said, you've just had that extra exposure to Braille with your left hand. But I think it's really, I don't think there's really an answer. Maybe someone needs to do some research, that is not me, on you know, that difference between dominance, you know, right or left hand dominance in life versus right or left hand dominance when it comes to picking up Braille and Braille detail, and actually what dominance means. So does dominance in Braille mean that you're able to pick up detail and track straight across a line? Or does dominance in Braille mean that, you know, that there's one hand that picks up more of the context and helps to find the way? Like, what is people's definition of dominance? I think by and large it's the ability to perceive detail, but I don't know that. Maybe that's a research project that needs to be done somewhere.
Anyone else have questions, comments, ideas for this? This is really fascinating. I love it. We're almost at our hour and a half, but we'd be happy to hear from anyone else who wants to say something. I'm really curious of the sighted people here too, if they had an interesting experience with this feeling thing.
Oh, yes. I found it really interesting, and that really, I love what you were saying, Chantel, about having the person bringing their own sort of experiential learning and building on what they already know to sort of and giving them opportunity. And I'm thinking of children more because that was where my most of my work was with, but giving them the opportunity to experience or broaden their experience with doing the page scan and using their whole hand and different parts of their hand to find the braille of it, other than just thinking it's a fingertip activity, where it's that whole body activity. I just think that's so important. Really appreciate
And I
what
think,
you're saying.
no, thank you. And I also appreciate when I'm going through this with people, the fact that when you ask somebody what they notice, it then allows them the time and the space to actually tell you. and that means that sometimes, you know, you might get something really different. So for example, you might be like, okay, you might be, okay, we're going to experience, like, I don't know, a letter T today. And a letter T is quite a full letter. And maybe they haven't really experienced the letter T yet on all of their, like, and so, for example, if you ask them what they notice, they kind of tell you that maybe it feels like a whole bunch of, like, dots close together, or, like, it feels like a certain shape, or it feels a certain way. If you go in there and sort of say, well, it's supposed to be a letter T, and they're just like, well, I have no idea what that means. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it kind of gives them, it gives them the time and the space to kind of actually tell you what they are feeling. And that gives you then the opportunity to dial into their actual experience and not trying to figure out what they are experiencing, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And that someone has just written in the comment line too about another thing, as well as giving the child a chance to express himself, but bringing in those handbrakes to sharpen your reading skills. And I mean, that they're saying, yep, going to add that into my my student days, you know, that making sure
The
kids
reset
have
object.
that. Yeah, it's great.
That's amazing for us too, long time braille, like when my fingers get numb, or, you know, I'm always afraid if I get an injury that means it hurts me to read braille. Like, I know Jen Golden had that A. Daphne for a while, where
Yeah, with the
she could hardly
carpal.
read braille at all, and it hurt her to do it. I thought, how could it? I would just suffer so much if I couldn't, you know, read braille. So I think the things you said about your arms and your shoulders, and, like, knowing your wrists and your hand, everything is really important for those of us that do it a lot, that read braille, you know, all day or whatever. You know, it's true. And it's interesting too about the whole hands. I never skim my page with the whole hand. Maybe I wasn't taught that way, but
Oh,
it was
that's so
interesting
interesting.
to put my palms there and feel the whole page. I was like, oh, I can get so much more if I have my whole hand there.
Yeah,
Absolutely.
Now, see, there's a comment, a hand up from Letitia.
Hi, I'm Leticia. I'm from Brazil, and actually, I'm in Brazil right now. And I just wanted to say that it was an excellent workshop. I never thought, like, about the exercise that you taught. Actually, so I'm not visually impaired. I'm a teacher of the visually impaired. And the exercise of, like, touching the braille and then touching the object and then going back to the braille was insanely, like, crazy. Like, how it changed the feeling. It was unbelievable. And this is going to be so helpful for the students that I just started teaching. They are adults who just lost their vision. And I think this is going to be, like, changing and big changing for them in the during our classes and the activities that we are gonna do. So just, like, thank you for the opportunity. It was great.
Well, thanks for coming to us from Brazil. I don't know how you found us, but
I'm glad you did.
YouTube.
Oh, YouTube. Okay.
Yes.
Wow. Right.
Oh, thank you. That's really great. It's really good to hear that. You know, that reset object often is the one thing that really stands out for people, because it brings up braille in a different way. I remember the first time I tried this with a class. Just, I mean, it was literally just a, it was an epiphany moment. I kind of went, you know what? this isn't working. I'm going to try something else. And so I just went, here, have an object. And I gave it to them, my students, who were adults. So I'm in the same position as you, as I primarily work with adults who have lost their vision. And the immediate feedback that I got was that the reset object made the braille jump out at them. And I was just like, oh, okay, I'm going to keep using this then.
That's so good.
Well, it must be equivalent to, you know how, and I mean, I've never read print with my eyes and never done anything with my eyes, but imagine if you, like, you know how they say when you're reading print for too long, if you're looking at your screen, you should look away?
Yes.
It sounds kind of similar to that, right? Like,
well, it gives your brain a chance to sort of refresh and everything.
Yeah.
Too, so. I do the same thing when I'm teaching students to play an instrument too, right? To get like that proper positioning. It's the same thing, being aware of your body. And I found everything very, very akin to that. Like, it was like, okay, let's take a break. Like, we play like red light, green light, so that they have to like get out of like playing position and into rest position if it's like a violin, for instance.
Oh, I love that. Wow. And yeah. No. And that was part of my experience too, was because I'm a musician as well. And so it was all these things that come together, like the musician, mm-hmm. the dance, the, you know, the massage, the all these life things that come together to make me realize that actually Braille, it's deceptively simple, but it's also, there's a lot of skills that go together to make it work. And so often mm-hmm. we're focusing so much on the code and the actual reading of the braille that we don't recognize all these other skills. And that, you know, there isn't, I always talk about the art and the science of reading braille. So the science is the technique and the art is actually putting it into practice.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah. And that's so interesting.
That's a great idea.
What you said about music too, because it's true that there's those positions, like you have to be, I mean, I'm a musician too, so like you have to be relaxed and also moving at the same time, right? Like mm-hmm. It's similar in the way that it is. And it, as I was reading hard copy Braille today, I was thinking about the rhythm of the hands, and there is a definite, like when you're in rhythm, you can hear someone's hands, and it's a rhythm like a metronome. You know what I mean? It's like a,
yep.
Like that, like, you know, like you can hear that. And I thought, oh, I kind of miss hearing that because I'm used to using my display, but it's like, you can hear the rhythm of the hands, which I guess is a good sign, eh, Daphne?
Yeah.
When the rhythm is flowing like that. Yeah, really fascinating. Well, we're past our time and you've given us a lot of your time.
It's really all good.
Thank you so much.
Thank you
for
having me. It's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you.
And we'd love to have you back sometime to talk about that. I was really fascinated by that. Teaching Braille music and teaching Braille music sort of in conjunction with people learning Braille, right? Like
sure, yeah.
Because it is,
yeah.
It's different, and it isn't like it's like, you know, you're learning D as D and D as E and like whatever, all that, you know, and kind of things. And so I think, you know, our community would probably be really interested to hear more about that too, about Braille music or. Yeah, this is fascinating and great.
I'm happy to come back anytime. Thank you for having me.
That'd be lovely. That'd be lovely. Yeah. And just before people slip away, I'd like to remind them that our Braille Symposium is coming up on June 13th, and the registration will be open pretty soon. So just check back to our webpage.
Bunch of presentations. So if anyone doesn't know, it's a whole afternoon worth of presentations from 1 to 5 Eastern time in where we are in North America, but probably we try to make it so it fits for most time zones. And so we're going to have some good stuff, 4 English presentations and 1 French. And also remember, our AGM is also coming up too. If you're a member of BLC, we have our AGM in a few weeks. And yeah, I don't know. Is there anything else, ladies?
I think that's everything, but thank you all of you for coming along and being a part of this Braille Promotions Workshop. And Chantel, thank you. It's really
thank you so much, Chantel, for this.
Yeah,
welcome.
I'm gonna read faster and smoother now.